I begin a couple weeks of vacation on Monday, and so I just didn't want to make, you know, I wanted to make sure that, you know, my clubs were close by. I'm not actually much of a golfer. In the years when I was playing on a regular basis, my goal was to be able to break 110. There was a brief window of time when I thought maybe I could break 100, and that just resulted in frustration and bitterness. And what was supposed to be relaxation and enjoyment was never that. So I don't play a lot anymore. If you invite me to come for a game with you, just be forewarned. I will mark my scorecard 120, and then I'll put it away, and it'll be a nice walk in the park. I'll swing my club, I'll lose some balls, and enjoy your companionship. They say that that you can learn anything, you know, with 10,000 repetitions of it. Now, that's been debunked in recent years, but we'll go with that for the sake of argument. That by practice, we gain skill, we gain predictability in the things that we're doing. And it's true of great athletes. They develop an ability to focus and stay in the moment and not stray from that. And they exceed at it. It's true of musicians. The repeated repetition of scales and, you know, whatever instrument it is becomes second nature. And when a great musician brings a near perfect, whatever that is, performance to the stage, in part it's because they've been able to set aside the technicalities of it, and it's become so second nature that they're able to just play, and they're just able to communicate through it. And it's true of athletes, it's true of musicians, and it comes down to this idea of training, and what are we training ourselves to? What are the things that we're repeating in our lives that are equipping us for life? For what's ahead. So we're going to kind of pursue this this morning, this idea of living in God's power in the midst of a world of evil. Now, if we're going to live successfully in God's power in the midst of a world of evil, it's going to require training. It's going to require some persistence. It's going to require some leaning in order to take what he has made available to us and become proficient with it, become second nature with it, it becomes part of who we are. Let me kind of ramp into the subject in this way this morning. Most of us, all of us, I mean, good grief, experience seasons of life, and some of them can be very difficult seasons of life. And some of those seasons of life are extraordinarily wonderful. Now, just this past week, a number of our church families have experienced some of those extraordinarily wonderful seasons. Just last Saturday, right here in our church sanctuary, Brianna Vandermeer was married. And we've got a picture here of her with her dad, Dave. Dave's on our board of elders, and it was a beautiful ceremony. It was socially distanced and all of those limitations, and she and Joe were married, Joe and Brianna Cohall. And it was wonderful. I mean, it was celebrative. It was fantastic. And I was talking to them this week, and they've been setting up new house and building furniture, and I bet you they're exhausted, right? So, I mean, in the midst of, you know, like the best of experiences of life, there's also just this little, oh my goodness, that was tiring. Another family in our church celebrating huge, huge things, Jordan and Joanne Capitan welcomed the third child into their home this week. On Wednesday morning at 2:13 a.m., good morning, Oakley was born into their family. So he's the second boy in their family. He is 6 pounds, 15 ounces. So wonderful. Our church family's growing. There you go. So incredibly wonderful. And so ready yourself for this one. Sylvan and Courtney Stamm welcomed their first baby into their family last week. So on June 17th, Callie Grace was born. Not so little, 8 pounds, 6 ounces. And so congratulations. I mean, are these not just those moments of life that we anticipate, that we look forward to? Like this is as good as it gets. Like this is the stuff that you post on Facebook or on Instagram. Like it becomes those moments. And we know, do we not, that even the very best of the best of the best of the moments of our lives usually have a little gray lining. there's usually some healing up after the delivering of a baby, right? There may be some hormonal changes and some postpartum things that come along. When Anne and I first became parents, it was like a tsunami hit us. It was like, oh my goodness, how do we know this was going to be so difficult? You're newly married. Not many of us, when we were first married, had everything we needed, right? You were short of money, you were short of space, you were short of time together, short of time alone, you know? So we're living in a world where even the very best gifts God gives to us have a bit of a gray lining to them. And the reason for that is sin. We're living in a broken and a fallen world where the best, like the most glorious that we can experience of God is not actually all of what he had for us. It's a reflection of it. It's a shadow of what he intended for us and of what will be. And then, of course, there are those not so wonderful moments, seasons in life, aren't there? You know, when we experience evil, when we see it, when it's around us, when maybe it touches our lives. And this morning we're looking into the book of James. It's a letter that Jesus' brother James wrote to a church who was in one of those crappy seasons. Like they were experiencing difficulty. And time and again, as you go through this letter, he is speaking about trials and persecutions and difficulties. And if we were to summarize it into two kind of ideas, he'd say, hang in there and power up. Hang in there, persevere, and power up. Now let me read a little bit of this for you. James chapter 5, starting in verse 7, he says, "You must be patient as you wait for the coming of the Lord. Consider the farmer who waits patiently for the coming of rain in the fall and the spring." Okay, so this is the hang in there part. He's looking forward to the precious fruit of the earth. "You also must wait patiently. Strengthen your resolve because the coming of the Lord is near. Don't complain to each other about each other, brothers and sisters, so that you won't be judged. And never make a solemn pledge, neither by heaven nor earth, nor by anything else. Instead, speak with a simple yes or no, or else you may fall into judgment. If any of you are suffering, they should pray. If any of you are happy, they should sing. If any of you are sick, they should call for the elders of the church, and the elders should pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. Prayer that comes from faith will heal the sick, for the Lord will restore them to health. And if they have sinned, they will be forgiven. For this reason, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous person is powerful in what it can achieve." So James is saying, look, in the wonderful seasons of life, pray. In the less than wonderful seasons of life, in those seasons when maybe you're feeling an urgency, maybe you're feeling your fragility, your vulnerability, your "there must be more than this." You ever sung that song that way? James, brother of Jesus, he's speaking to followers of Jesus, and he's encouraging them that in both of these seasons, Hang in there, but power up. And it's this power up piece that we need to talk about more. I'm not sure we talk about this enough. He says, look, if we were to track through the passage that I read there, he would say, persevere through both seasons, the good and the bad. Hang in there, wait. Like the farmer's waiting for a crop. He's saying, don't find your way through by making pledges. By saying, Lord, like this is the deal-making thing. Lord, if you'll do this, I'll... So don't make deals with God or anybody else in your sort of urgency to make it through. He says, the way through is prayer. He says, when you're suffering, pray. So hang in there, but power up. When you're suffering, pray. Power up. When you're happy, sing, and the context is talking about worship. Sing in worship as a form of prayer. You just don't sing moistly, okay? Hum in worship is maybe what we got to deal with for a little while. If you're suffering, pray. If you're happy, sing in worship. If you're sick, get some more people around and pray more. Okay, call the spiritually mature people around you and invite them to join with you in prayer. So here's the truth. There's a real and genuine horrible evil that is at work in our world. But to a world of evil, the church is called to bring God's presence and God's power. That's our big idea this morning. We're going to come back to this a couple of times. To a world of evil, the church is called to bring God's presence and God's power. We've been in this series, we've been calling it Empowered and Equipped. When you became a follower of Jesus, and I know we've got some who are maybe still kicking the tires of faith. So if you will become a follower of Jesus, and I hope you'll make that choice this morning. If you will become a follower of Jesus, you are invited into union with Christ. God himself is inviting you into the most intimate of relationships. It's more than a club. It's much more than a fraternity. It's more than a belief system or a philosophy of life. You're being invited. You were invited into being a branch that's grafted into the vine whose name is Jesus. And I've set some grapes here this morning to kind of remind us that there's a fruitfulness that God wants to work in our life. Good. There's a fruitfulness that God wants to work in our lives. And it's this intimate relationship. It's this touches every part of who you are. Relationship with Jesus. And in that relationship, there is power. So last Sunday, we talked about the gifts that God the Holy Spirit brings. God loves to give us gifts. And he gives gifts to those who are in Christ. And we talked about serving gifts and leadership gifts and miraculous gifts. Let me ask, what are your spiritual gifts? Have you kind of thought about this at all over the course of this week? I would implore you to do so. The body of Christ suffers with disabilities when you don't participate. And everyone who's in Christ has been gifted to serve. So if you're not serving, like we're limping because we're missing a foot. We're having trouble seeing because there's an eye that's not participating in the body life. So what are your gifts? And are you using your gifts? And if you're using your gifts, are you growing in skill? Is there some training going on, so that you're kind of marking that next marker that maybe would just bring you to a little more effectiveness, a little greater fruitfulness as you serve in the body of Christ. Practice makes perfect. You know what? Practice with coaching speeds it up. You know, so work with somebody who can offer some coaching, stand alongside someone who can say, if you thought about it this way, who can model effective serving for you. Last Sunday's sermon notes offered some scriptures, some ideas, some reflections, some further reading for you. If you didn't download them last Sunday, email admin@okalliance.ca this week and say, could you send me June 21st sermon notes? And Valerie will be glad to send those to you. And just work through those passages of Scripture. Maybe work through them with a friend, with a family member, with somebody from your life group. This past Thursday in Everything Okay, if you don't get Everything Okay, just again, email admin@okalliance.ca and say, send me Everything Okay. Every Thursday or Friday, we send out just a short newsletter about the church family. This past week, Everything Okay, I gave you a link to a spiritual gifts survey. It's just kind of a simple process to help you think objectively and just do a little self-reflection and come up with some ideas. Well, maybe this, if I can identify what the gifts are, maybe I can start using them a little more effectively, growing them a little more effectively. You know what your spiritual gifts are? Are you using them? Because the body of Christ is called to a world of evil. We're to bring God's presence and his power. And we're limping in this assignment if you're not joining us in it. So please join us in it. So here's where we're going this week. James talks about our need to join, if we're going to exercise the power and the authority of God, if we're going to live in this place, we need to be walking and working in agreement. And it's agreement with God, and it's agreement with one another. We need to be learning how to pray with power. What does it mean to pray with power? And we need to be ambassadors who are ministering healing in our world, among one another. So that's what we're going to explore each of those. That's the outline. It's on this week's sermon notes. You can download them from our website. I'd encourage you to do so and follow along as we proceed this morning. We're going to pray. We want to learn to pray in agreement. We need to learn to pray with power. And we need to learn to pray for healing, to be agents of healing on God's behalf. So praying in agreement. With God, with one another. James wrote this. He said, if any one of you is in trouble, he should pray. Okay, so whether you're in a good season, okay, no, he's talking about the bad season. So if you're in a crappy hour, crappy day, crappy week, crappy month, I don't know what it is, okay? But he says, in those moments, pray. If you're suffering, if you're in trouble, pray. But we come and we say, but pray how? Jesus had some words for us on this. John chapter 5, verse 19. Jesus said, here's how Jesus approached this. He said, I only do what I see the Father doing. I only do what I see the Father doing. Okay, so let's use this as a starting point. This is Jesus speaking. He says, I assure you that the Son can't do anything by himself except what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. Okay, so if this was the necessary process for Jesus, surely we need to be engaging in a similar process. So what's the Father doing? Where is God the Father at work? If we're following Jesus, then this needs to be our constant question. Where's God at work? What's God doing in this moment, in this situation? I want to walk in agreement with God. Just as Jesus walked in agreement with the Father, we want to walk in agreement with the Father. Now, if you're anything like me, there have been times when I'd have to say, I don't know. I don't know what God the Father is doing here. In fact, he's kind of surprised me, or maybe he's really surprised me. Paul, the apostle, he offers great assurance to us. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. He says, the Spirit helps us. Isn't that good news? So We've been talking about being in Christ, being in union with Christ, branch in vine, lifeblood of vine, flowing through branch, God in us, us in God, being filled with His Spirit. And Paul says the Spirit helps us. Well, that's enormous encouragement. He says the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. That's fantastic. That's fantastic. So here we are. We're giving Him our intention. We're pursuing His directions. We're wanting to walk with God, wanting to walk in agreement with God, wanting to walk consulting with Him. And it's like the Holy Spirit's like Google Translate app. Like he's translating our feeble words into God language. Here's what He really means, Lord. And then it works the other way around. He's translating, He's communing to us the God language in ways that we can access it, ways that we can, okay, I'm starting to get this, Lord. Thank You, Father. Now, there's a mystical component to this that you're hearing me describe, but it's not all that. In fact, it's not even mostly that. Mystical can become this untethered, unattached, unanchored experience. And so this mystical communion with God is a thing, it's a real thing. But the real deal, the best way that God, the Holy Spirit, will speak, the loudest way, the clearest way He will speak is through His Word. It's through Scripture. He's already spoken it, it's been affirmed, and He's going to speak through the Bible to you if you will seek Him. Okay? Where's God at work? Well, what do we know about God? Where's God in this moment? Well, what do I know about God's character? What has He told me in His Word about His character? What's God's will in this situation? Oh, let's understand the Scriptures better, because there's an awful lot of revelation of the will of God in Scripture. Well, what's the general direction that He's going? What are the things that are on His heart? What are the themes that He constantly returns to, the refrains that He's inviting us to take up? These are the starting points for us, living in God's power so that we can represent His presence and His power in the world in which we live. The better I understand His revelation of Himself, the better I can walk in agreement with Him. Lord, I want to pray in agreement with You. I want to walk in agreement with You. But there's more. He's invited us to actually walk in agreement and pray in agreement with one another. If we want to access God's power, we want to pray in agreement with Him vertically, we want to pray in agreement with one another horizontally. Jesus said this, Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. Jesus said, "I assure you that if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, then My Father who is in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three are gathered in My name, I'm there with them." That's enormously assuring. I mean, what a promise Jesus makes there. The one who indwells us is particularly and specifically at work when we find ourselves agreeing with others in prayer in the moment. What have you heard from God? Okay, let's agree together. Here's what we know God wants to do. Let's pray in agreement with that together, and we begin to experience God's power at work among us. Since the beginning of COVID, back in March, COVID-19, the clergy, the ministers, the lead pastors of our churches here in Okotoks, broader than Okotoks, have been meeting every Wednesday afternoon at 3:30 for prayer. Now, most of it's been on Zoom, but we're praying for you. We're praying for our churches, we're praying for our community, we're praying for our province, for our nation, for our world. Some spiritual leaders in our community are meeting together and agreeing on some things before the Lord in prayer. That's the kind of thing that James is talking about here. James is offering this picture of unified prayer. He says, bring the spiritual leaders together in community and pray. Now, when James wrote these words, he was describing, he was speaking them to churches that by and large were house churches. So the church in Jerusalem was a large church, huge church. The church in Antioch was probably a pretty large church as well. But other than that, the churches predominantly met, once they got kicked out of the synagogue, they predominantly met in larger homes. So we're talking about groups of 10 or 20 or 40 or maybe 50, 60 at the most. Those were the churches. So let me read the passage for you. James 5:14. Is any among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. So he's describing this situation. So he's talking about the spiritual leaders who are around you. He's talking about those whom you've come to know and love and trust and you go to for advice. They're your life group leader. They're your ministry team leader in Kids Zone or in youth ministry or in adult ministries. They may be the formal members of a board of elders in our church family who gather together to anoint you with oil. They're the spiritual leaders around you. And he's inviting, he's encouraging us to find agreement together in prayer. And so let me just recap. James says, if you're in trouble, if you're suffering hardship, pray. If you're happy, sing songs of praise, worship, pray. If you're happy, pray. If you're suffering, pray. But if you're sick, call the elders to pray. So pray more. Get others who will pray with you about these more intense needs, these more serious needs, these things that are feeling particularly threatening to you. There wasn't anything that was much more threatening in the ancient world than illness. They didn't have penicillin. Like, they didn't have much medical knowledge, really, compared to what we have today. It was a threat. It was addressing threat. It was going on Acts chapter 4. We kind of see this lived out in a very practical way. Acts chapter 4, Jesus' buddies, Peter and John, had been in prison. The story that leads up to it is fascinating. I encourage you to read it. The Holy Spirit had healed. God, the Holy Spirit, had healed a man who was born, born blind. Didn't write that in my notes. From birth. Ill from birth. And God the Holy Spirit healed them. A crowd gathered. They were amazed. Isn't this phenomenal? So Peter and John shared the gospel with them. Here, talk to them about Jesus. And like over at least 2,000 people were added to the church that day. And the authorities put Peter and John in prison. Trial the next day. Sent them all out with threats. This is serious. Like, you know, these were serious threats from the most powerful people in the world at that day. and so the scriptures tell us, Acts chapter 4, that they came together with the church to pray. Acts chapter 4, verse 31, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Like as though they weren't speaking the word of God boldly before, right? Like, so it just acts. So Acts chapter 1, Jesus promises you will receive power. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. Wait in Jerusalem. They did. Acts chapter 2, Pentecost comes. They wait in Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit shows up in power. 3,000 people are added to the church that day when the guy who used to be timid, Peter, is now bold and speaks, and 3,000 people come into the church that day. Here we are, chapter 4, just a couple of chapters later, a similar things happening. Healing's taking place. The power of God is breaking in to that society and some of the places of greatest threat, greatest risk, and it's causing such a hurrah that the leaders of the political leaders are saying, hang on a minute here, what is this? What the heck is going on? That's not okay. You know, they're being threatened. They pray. God shows up again. He fills them again. We're going to see this pattern throughout the book of Acts. If we were to read it all the way through, they're filled. They're filled again. They seek him in prayer. They filled again. He gives them the gifts they need in that moment. They're equipped. They become the presence of God in that community, and they bring his power into places where it is most needed. Beautiful fruit, right? I'm going to encourage you this summer, every time you reach for a bunch of grapes, remind yourself, God wants to bring fruitfulness in your life. He's looking for character fruit. He wants to grow you. And he's looking for kingdom fruit. He wants to use you. They were praying in agreement. They were also praying with power. James 5:16. I'm going to read this time from the Amplified Version. It gives a little bit of expansion to the text to help us a wee bit. James writes, "Confess your sins to one another." He defines sins for us here, your false steps, your offenses, "and pray for one another." Okay, there's the agreement, right? The one another, that's the agreement part, coming together. "Pray for one another, that you may be healed and restored. The heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous person," in other words, a believer, someone who's been made right with God, "is able to accomplish much when it's put into action and made effective by God." The Amplified Version says it's dynamic and can have tremendous power. So we're talking about powerful prayer here. Most of us are familiar with timid prayer. Is that right? Is that right? I've been there many times myself. Timid prayer, "Lord, would you, could you? If it wasn't too much trouble, you know, pretty please with a cherry on top. I'm hoping that." That's timid prayer. And that is that's just a fine place to start. If that's all you've got, begin with timid prayer. But don't stay there. Let's not stay in a place of timidity. Jesus' words, Matthew chapter 21, he said, "I assure you and most solemnly say to you that if you have faith," by faith he's talking about personal trust and confidence in Jesus, "if you have faith and do not doubt or allow yourself to be drawn into two directions, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree," talking about what just happened, "but even if you say to this mountain, be taken away and thrown into the sea," what are the mountains in your life these days? "It will be done. If God wills it, it will be done. And whatever you ask for in prayer, believing, you will receive it." So don't stay in a place of timidity. Neither kind of go all the way, swing the pendulum out to the other side and find yourself in a place of being presumptuous. Okay? Like presumptuous prayer is that kind of prayer that says, well, it says here, Jesus said, you know, ask anything and believe. You know, if all I got to do is believe hard enough, get me enough faith. So new car, come on, new car. Jesus, let's have a new car. You know, bigger house. Okay, so presumptuous prayer is self-focused. It's self-gratifying, self-serving. It's trying to twist God's arm into something. What we want is powerful prayer, which begins with, where's God at work? And I want to join him in that. And would you join with me and we'll agree together? What are you hearing from God? What's he doing right now? Can we find that agreement together? Okay, let's pray together in that and find agreement together. And then we're going to walk in faith. We're going to believe God for this. God said it. I believe it. I believe it because he said it. I know. Yes, I know. He said no. He's going to see me through. Okay? God said it. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to trust him for this. I know this is his will. This is his work. This is where powerful prayer begins. And then James goes on and he makes reference to healing prayer. And most of us kind of look at that again and say, okay, what exactly is he talking about here? What are you talking about here, James? Praying for healing, inviting healing. Now, it was no secret in his world as it is in our world. We are all vulnerable people, right? We are fragile. We live in a fragile world. Like, these are the realities that we're in. And the reality is that the brokenness that is in our world is the responsibility of humanity. It's our fault. Sin came because of the will of human beings, the willfulness against God of human beings. It severed our relationship with God. It continues to sever our relationship with one another. And the earth itself, Scripture tells us, struggles under the crushing weight of sin. And so when we read about healing in Scripture, last week we talked about the gift of healing. Here James is inviting the elders to pray, and he's talking about a prayer of faith that would bring healing. We pray knowing this, that complete healing will come. But James has already implored us to wait patiently for the Lord. He's talking to a church that's in trouble, who's experiencing persecution, who's experiencing trouble. He's not done a abracadabra and all of a sudden everything was hokey-dokey, right? And so he's looking forward to a day when complete healing will come, when Jesus will return. He will bring a new heaven and a new earth. He will wipe away every tear and every sorrow. When God wraps up this whole thing, he will put everything right. Justice will be served. Judgment will come. The righteous will be acknowledged. Those who have trusted Jesus will be recognized. And so until that point in time, all healing is partial. If God, in his kindness, raised me up from a severe illness, it would at best be temporary and partial, because I will die someday. That's just the reality. And so when he visits us with kindness in a moment and gives relief from a symptom or relief from an ailment, whether it's an emotional symptom and ailment, a physical symptom and ailment, certainly the spiritual stuff, he is powerful and effective and is taking care of those things. At best, this is going to be a temporary, partial healing that I will experience because death comes. But on that day, complete healing will be experienced in every dimension of the need for healing. But the encouragement throughout the scriptures, and especially in the Gospels and the letters, the epistles in the New Testament, the encouragement is ask. Ask. Lord, I'm coming and asking, would you visit me with your power in this need that I have right here and right now? God loves to give good gifts to his children. And so we ask. And through some people, as we were discussing last week, he seems to be pleased in particular to work with gifts of healing, to bring his authority through their work, through their prayer, through their intercession, and bring about miraculous results, miraculous healing. But whether or not there's somebody like that among us or with us in this moment, James says, pray. So we pray. He says, if any of you are suffering, you should pray. If any of you are sick, you should call the elders of the church, and the elders should pray over them and anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of power, right? Okay, so this prayer that's been directed toward God, where we've been seeking, Lord, what is your will here? What is it you're wanting to do? We're consulting with you. We're bringing it together with one another. We're consulting what God's saying to you. What's going on in this moment that we should pay attention to? Lord, what are you doing here? Now we want to agree together in this. The prayer that believes God, that's secured in God, trusting in God, will bring healing. Measure of healing for now, physical, emotional, spiritual, and complete healing then when we see him face to face. And in the midst of the mystery of all of this, is the reality that we know that our good God is working every one of his purposes together for us. Romans 8:28. In all things, God is at work for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes. That's you. That's you. And so we look at that and we say, you know what? Whatever's going on here, he's inviting me to see it as training. I'm looking forward to just every move I make in Christ being something that equips me. And so in the good seasons, the wonderful seasons, I'm training. I'm praying. I'm going to be opening scripture on a daily basis. Like more than just sort of the little verse of the day. Like that's great. It's a good start. But where did that verse come from? What's the context of that verse? What's the chapter that verse is found in? What's the book that chapter's found in? What's that book about? Where does that book fit in the grand scheme of Genesis through Revelation? How does this all fit together? I want to be conversant. I want to know. I want to walk with God because I'm training. I'm equipping. God has called us to bring his power and his presence into a dark world, and so he's calling us to become fit. He's calling us to become skilled in the gifts that he's going to give to us. And he's calling us to partner with something that we already see him doing so that we can walk in agreement with his good work. I took a little shot at bringing James' words kind of forward to today. Maybe this is helpful to you. Maybe if James wrote this today, he'd say something like this. Is anyone among you concerned about the impact of COVID-19? Let them pray. Is the world in upheaval as they recognize how horrid sin is? Racial prejudice divides. Even law enforcement struggles to be impartial, objective, and unbiased. Pray. Are you encountering joy in your journey? Pray. In song, in worship. And bring your requests concerning the brokenness that you're discovering in you. And the brokenness that you're discovering in the world around you, bring it together with others. And invite the spiritual leaders who are around you to anoint you with oil and pray for your healing. And wellness will come. If you're going to get to this place of confidence in God, we're going to practice. Faith is something that requires exercise. It requires strengthening. So the spiritual driving range is going to be that daily prayer. It's going to be that weekly coming together for worship. I'm training. How do I pray? How do I worship? How do I seek God? How do I understand Scripture? The putting green. Okay? The putting green, ball after ball after ball into the hole, building muscle memory. Spiritual muscle memory is what we're really looking for, right? Building muscle memory so that in the good times I'm training myself so that when I face the difficulties, I'm ready. The spiritual driving range, the spiritual putting green, and God begins to visit you and me with power. As we pray, as we trust him, as we learn more of him, as we experience more of him, our faith is growing, it's strengthening. And from this place of union with Christ, power comes forth. It's effective. It accomplishes his purposes and his will.